Chapter 18.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy.
Qui-Gon Jinn didn't look alarmed to be called in front of the council. In fact, he seemed to be entirely unconcerned and oblivious to the tightly leashed rage of half the beings in the chamber. "Master Jinn," Yoda began, "your mission, how went it?" The beings in charge had obfuscated the truth in their request for aid. Of course, I conducted my own investigation, and in the meantime, the Force led me to examine some of the planet's more vicious flora. As usual, Jinn's mission report was long and rambling, disorganized to the extreme as he honed in on irrelevant details. Mace wasn't sure how he had ever believed that the quality of Jinn's writing had improved. He had a sneaking suspicion that someone else had been writing both of their reports and inadvertently covering Jinn's cruelties. Mace took note of how sparsely Kenobi appeared in Jinn's ramble. For all that this was supposed to be their first mission back together after Master Tall's death, it seemed that they had spent startlingly little time together. It was concerning to think of Kenobi on his own for most of the mission, concerning that the Padawan was only 16 and should hardly be operating independently and without backup. Out of the corner of his eye, Mace could see that Plo was similarly troubled. Finally, Jinn mentioned Kenobi, though the context made him wish that he hadn't. Well, with the insurgents pinned down, I instructed my Padawan to subdue the second in command. Unfortunately, the being's lover, who we had thought to be a harmless civilian caught up in the mess, had a slugthrower on Xur. Obi-Wan didn't react fast enough and was clipped in the side. Jinn frowned. Uncivilized things, slugthrowers, and the wounds bleed so much. Padawan Kenobi was injured, Plo demanded, leaning forward. Mace found his stomach sinking even further. While he had been relatively sure that Kenobi was safe with Jon, what if he was bleeding out somewhere? Regardless of whether she was done meditating, Mace couldn't wait to send Deppa to check on them any longer. Before he could fully slide his comm out of his pocket, Jin's next words stopped him in his tracks. He was, but then he used some type of healing I've never seen before, knit his side back together like it was nothing, and ejected the shrapnel. He must have learned the technique while we were grounded in the temple, or else he could have used it on New Absalon. Mace went cold. He shouldn't have been surprised, he knew. If Jon had taught Kenobi shadow walking, why wouldn't he share the rest of his skills? And it was likely mutual, considering the sudden increase in the quality of Jon's shielding. At some point, the two of them had swapped knowledge, and now another one of their children was all too casual about causing themselves pain. "Did the healing seem painful?" Sifo-Dyas asked carefully. Jinn shrugged, as if his Padawan's pain was irrelevant. "Obi-Wan is quite skilled in shielding our bond. I doubt I would sense it." "Your Padawan's shield's concerning, do you find?" Yaddle asked. "No, teenagers are teenagers, Jedi or not. Xanatos was the same way," Jinn said. And if that in itself shouldn't have been a hint that something more was going on. "Questions we have about your Padawan, Master Jinn. Answer, will you?" Yaddle continued. Jinn finally seemed to catch on that this was not a typical council debrief. Yet, all he did was roll his eyes. "I suppose." Plo took over. "You informed the council that Padawan Kenobi left the Jedi Order on Melodon for a local girl. Padawan Kenobi did not refute this, and his and your report both indicate that he left on the request of a girl named Sarasi." Jinn frowned. "That was years ago. I fail to see how that's relevant." "Call it an audit of past missions," Mace said, dry as dust. "Fine, yes, Obi-Wan left on the request of a girl named Sarasi." "And why did she ask him to stay?" Plo pressed. The council had decided to begin their questioning here, at the event easiest to link to one of Jinn's slights. The war zone that Kenobi was abandoned to could only fit in that 8-month period that he had not been in the Order. While it was highly irregular for a Padawan to leave mid-mission, Jinn had the proper paperwork and his Padawan's returned lightsaber. Though Mace had regretted the loss of a boy sure to be a fine knight one day, some simply realized the path of the Jedi was not for them. When Kenobi had returned, the council had awarded him a probationary period to decide if he truly wanted to stay with the Order. Mace had the sinking feeling that had been exactly the wrong thing to do. The girl was, Jin grimaced, finally looking uncomfortable, part of a group of other children that called themselves the Young. They had rescued Tall and were intent on forming a rudimentary militia. They wanted Obi-Wan and I to fight a war for them. Mace felt like he was going to be sick. A children's militia. He released the feeling of the Force and cleared his throat. A war? Jin scoffed. Melodon had been at war for generations. Our intel and Tall's intel didn't truly describe the state of things. A gang dispute, the briefing called it. The children of both sides decided they didn't want to fight and ran away. A noble cause, to be sure, but not one that was our mission. Obi-Wan was intent on helping the Young after Sarasi asked him to stay and insisted that we fight for them. However, Tall needed medical attention as soon as possible. Our duty was to see her to safety. Your duty was to protect children, Mace wanted to say, and Tall would have said the same. But he couldn't risk Jin clamming up. Instead, he let a different master take the lead. And why did you two not simply return after seeing Master Tall to the healers? That would have been logical, Ki-Adi asked. Jin scowled and then quickly smoothed his expression. It was not our mission. Instead, Obi-Wan endangered our only transport and then drew his lightsaber on me. He was too attached. I told him he would either come with us or leave the Order. He chose to leave the Order. He did not choose anything, Mace wanted to say. He couldn't abandon child soldiers, and you left him weaponless. He held his words once more. He remembered John's abrupt questions about what it would take to make Mace get rid of him. He pictured his Padawan, so small, asking what Mace would do if John drew his lightsaber on him. With a sinking feeling, Mace knew exactly where the question had come from. And return, why did you? Yoda asked. Jin's face remained placid. He admitted his arrogance and requested assistance brokering peace after Sarasi died. Yoda's ears drooped, just barely. I see, Plo said, tone unreadable. Neither of your mission reports mentioned these details. Jin's tone was dismissive. Obi-Wan's been completing both of our reports as part of his training. I'll have to discuss the importance of including more specifics. The flare of rage that Mace felt from Plo was concerning, if understandable. The other master smothered it quickly. With just the details of what had truly occurred on Melodon, the Council already had enough information to remove Kenobi from Jin's care permanently and prevent him from taking future Padawans. No child should be trained by a master so callous as to abandon them in a war zone. Padawans were learners. Was it perhaps rash of Kenobi to pull his lightsaber on Jin? Of course, but Kenobi was 13 at the time, and there were few 13-year-olds that weren't rash. Deppa at that age had caused 3 separate planetary incidents, one of which was because she thought it would be funny to prank him mid-peace talks. While Mace, at the time, had contemplated leaving her in a box on the side of the road, he never would have, because she was a child and his to care for. When she made a mistake, it was his job to protect her and help her fix it. And Mace wasn't convinced that staying to protect child soldiers was a mistake in the first place. Considering the details that have been left out previously, would you indulge my curiosity, Master Jin? What made you take Kenobi as your Padawan at all? Jocasta asked abruptly. For once, Jin looked fond while discussing his Padawan. On Bandimir, he led a revolution and helped me unravel Xanatos's scheme. He demonstrated the true heart of a Jedi in the mines. He offered to explode his slave collar to grant me access to a bomb that threatened the whole planet. Mace couldn't keep the horror off his face. Please tell me you didn't tell the child that was why you took him on, Evan said, face equally as horror-stricken. Jin's face was bewildered. Of course I did. He overcame his tendency for selfishness and anger with true sacrifice. Mace was actively going to be sick. He could practically see the line Kenobi had written in Jin's report. Initiate Kenobi demonstrated characteristics befitting of the Jedi Order and persuaded me that he would be a worthy Padawan. It was a force-damned miracle that Kenobi hadn't gotten himself killed if he thought martyrdom was the key part of a Jedi's duty. With a renewed sense of urgency, Mace sent a calm message over to Deppa. He could sense that she was settled on her end of the bond. After this farce of a discussion, Mace would feel a great deal safer with Kenobi in the sight of at least one adult. Besides, it was clearly important for the Council to hear Kenobi's perspective on his apprenticeship. Hopefully, the meeting had given him enough time to find a more even keel, though Mace wouldn't take it personally if it took Kenobi a while to trust him again. Deppa sent him a confirmation that she would try calming them first. "Enough," Plo said, voice sterner than Mace had ever heard it. There was something in the line of the Keldor's shoulders that made the hair on the back of Mace's neck stand up. Something dangerous and electric. "Qui-Gon Jinn, you have done enough." Jinn had the nerve to look bewildered. Plo poked Yoda pointedly in the Force, hard enough that they could all feel it. Shielded from Jinn, the Council discussed briefly through the Force. Most of their decisions had been made while waiting for Jinn to arrive. Yoda looked every one of his long years. "Act in the youngling's best interest, we should," the Grandmaster said, echoing the words from months prior. This time, his tone was heavy, grieving. "Remove him from his master, we must." "What?" Jinn demanded incredulously. "You have done great harm to a child in your care," Mace stated. "Kenobi was yours to protect and teach, not abandon at his first mistake. And it is certainly not the Jedi way to teach our children that their greatest purpose is to die." "Grounded in the temple, you are, Qui-Gon Jinn," Yaddle said. "Further investigate your misconduct, we must." "Another master will complete Padawan Kenobi's training," Plo continued. "You will be forbidden from taking another Padawan permanently, unless you are cleared by several mind healers and appeal for the Council's consideration. The rest of your punishment will be decided after the investigation is completed," Ki-Adi said. "We expect your fullest cooperation, and you are not to initiate unsupervised contact with Padawan Kenobi," Jocasta said. "You can't take my Padawan away from me," Jinn snapped. "I've done nothing wrong." "On the contrary," Sifo-Dyas said, "you've done everything wrong." Without a word, Jinn turned on his heel and stormed from the chambers. "That went well," Yariel said dryly. Mace massaged at the headache that had only grown since his conversation with John in the healer's room. It felt like years ago. "I would like to formally announce my intent to ask Obi-Wan Kenobi to be my Padawan learner," Plo said abruptly. A long pause stretched before Yaddle said, wryly, "Cheating this is. Many masters interested in Padawan Kenobi there will be." Mace snorted, as if any of them would be willing to fight Plo Koon, council member and wielder of Emerald Lightning. A slowly growing sense of alarm raced down Mace's bond with his first Padawan. "Deppa," Mace projected toward her. He received nothing back but the sensation of hurrying. Worried, he reached out toward John and met a solid wall. He pushed his concern and worry down the bond, making sure it was colored with his care for John. No response. Deppa's alarm flared sharply into full-blown panic. "Deppa, what's wrong?" Mace sent once more, his own alarm sharpening enough that Plo looked over, head tilted in concern. His inquiry was answered moments later by his first Padawan bursting into the council chambers. "Masters, they're gone! John and Obi-Wan were together in his quarters, but they crushed their comms and John took his go-bag." Mace wasn't the only counselor that started cursing. End of chapter 18.